Via Doloroso, the path that is believed that the Lord Jesus followed in Jerusalem on the way from on the way to Calvary. So we're going to follow Christ a little bit different way tonight. We're going to follow him in his sufferings. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And everyone wants to know Christ and his great power, and that's a good thing and a right thing, the power of his resurrection. But there's also an aspect of knowing Christ that none of us really desire to know this way, but yet it is part of the Christian journey, is to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And we're going to follow him along the path of his fellowship of his sufferings even tonight. I've asked several of you to help with some verses, really just kind of telling the story of Christ on his path to Calvary through Scripture. So not so much preaching tonight, just letting the Scripture speak for itself. We're going to look at following Christ from Gethsemane to Gabbatha to Golgotha, all the way along, just following him on the path that he took to what we call Calvary. At Gethsemane, the Gethsemane, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means pressed out. It's where, back then and even today, where olives are pressed out and the oil is extracted. So it's a place of much pressure, both physically for the olive crops and olive growers, but it's also very much a place of great pressure for our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we know about on going towards Golgotha, he carried the cross on his shoulders. But at Gethsemane, as we'll see in just a moment, he really carried the cross in his spirit. He was burdened in his spirit, spiritually, or we might say just mentally, as he was physically carrying the cross on his shoulders. But at Gethsemane, we see that we see suffering to the death at the hands of sorrow. Matthew 26 talks about this. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. It says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. We get our word, that exceedingly sorrowful, we get our word periphery from that. When we talk about being peripheral, it's kind of being kind of a full view or an encircling view. And so when Christ said he was exceedingly sorrowful, he literally was had a full view, a periphery, surrounded by great sorrow. He was exceedingly sorrowful. Luke 22 says this, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That word agony is a military term. And the word agon, the root word agon, has to do with the wrestling match. And Christ was as it were, wrestling in his spirit that night. He was in great agony, and we see that so very, very clearly. I ran across a short little poem about Gethsemane and how he suffered for us at the hands of sorrow. Oh, what wondrous love I see freely shown for you and me by the one who did atone. Just to show his matchless grace, Jesus suffered for the race in Gethsemane alone. Oh, what love, matchless love, oh, what love for me was shown. His forever I will be for the love he gave to me when he suffered all alone. Tarry here, he told the three, tarry here and watch for me. But they heard no bitter moan, for the three disciples slept while my loving Savior wept in Gethsemane alone. Long in anguish, deep was he, weeping there for you and for me. For our sin to him was known, we should love him evermore for the anguish that he bore in Gethsemane alone. He suffered at the hands of sorrow in Gethsemane. He also suffered at the hands of sleeping saints. He suffered at the hands of sleeping saints. And I'd ask, who had Matthew 26, verse 39 and on?
Starting in verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And it came and found them, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
All right, thank you. Suffering at the hands of sleeping saints. That's why Christ, why we're told in the Bible to awake, O thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. But he also suffered at the hands of scared saints. He suffered at the hands of scared saints. Mark 14 says this, and they all forsook him and fled. You know, Christ did suffer alone. They all just, all his disciples forsook him. We know at the very end, and all the way kind of going ahead to Golgotha, only John was there. Only all of his disciples, only John was there, and of course his mother. So he suffered at the hands of scared saints. He also suffered at the hands of one supposed saint, and who had Matthew 26:46-50.
Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him.
Judas was that one supposed saint. That's why the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If anybody could ever be a Christian because of just being in close proximity to Jesus and being around godly influences, it would certainly be Judas, but he wasn't. He was just a supposed saint, and I suppose that was one of the things that hurt Christ maybe the most dearly, just all that he had invested in Judas and for those 3 years, and then for him to have betrayed him with a kiss. Luke 22:47-48 also talks about that, if Brother John could read that.
And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
All right, thank you. That was the suffering of Jesus in the garden. We see that the first Adam, the book of 1 Corinthians talks about the first Adam being Adam and the second Adam being Christ. The first Adam in the garden, not the Garden of Gethsemane, but in the Garden of Eden, he exerted his will, and it led to the ruination, to the ruin of the human race. But we see, not in the Garden of Eden, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he didn't exert his will, he deserted his will, and it led to the restoration of the human race because of his faithfulness. Of course, he said, not my will, but thine will. So at Gethsemane, we see that we see victory over the flesh. Christ won victory over the flesh when he said, not my will, but thine will. Gethsemane is victory over flesh. Next, we see at Gabbatha, as we follow Jesus Christ along the Via Dolorosa, along his path to Calvary, we stop to Gabbatha. John 19:13 says this about this place, Gabbatha. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Just as in Gethsemane we saw that Jesus Christ won victory over the flesh, at Gabbatha Jesus won victory over the world. That word, interesting, Gabbatha means in the Hebrew, pavement. When you think about pavement, you can't help but think of crushed stone. I mean, every one of you came here tonight, and we'll go back home tonight on pavement, on crushed stone, on crushed asphalt and crushed rock, as it were. And of course, Jesus was that crushed rock for us. He was that rock, and on Calvary, he was crushed for us to provide that way to heaven. He was the only way to get to heaven. And so he is that, interesting, at Gabbatha was the pavement. And again, we see victory over the world. And he suffered there at the hands of superiors. John 18 says, you can go to the next slide, fellas, at the hands of superiors. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And John 19, 1 says this, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." And so he suffered greatly at Gabbatha. He also suffered at the hands of the Sanhedrin. He suffered at the hands of the Sanhedrin. And who had Mark 14, 63 through 65?
Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands.
Thank you. And then Luke 22:65.
And many other things blasphemously spake they against him.
All right. So the Sanhedrin, the ruling class, he suffered at their hands. While he was at Gabbatha, he suffered at the hands of smiters. Isaiah 50, verse 6 says this, "I gave my back to the smiters," those that, when you smite someone, you hit them hard with the intention of inflicting pain. "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." You're probably more spiritual than perhaps I am, but to be omnipotent and omniscient, to be all-powerful, and to yet allow your creation to inflict great pain on you, to pull out your beard from your face, to smite you on the back, to have them spit in their, have them spit in his face. He suffered at the hands of smiters. John 19 says this, "And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands." Matthew 27 talks more about the smiting that he took at Gabbatha. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." The physical pain from the smiters was real, but just like the mental anguish that Jesus endured in Gethsemane when Judas betrayed him, we also know there at Gabbatha or around Gabbatha while Jesus was there at the place of pavement, we know that one silent saint did not speak up for him, namely Peter. And so if we could have Matthew 26, 57 through 58.
"And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with his servants to see the end."
All right, thank you. And then also kind of carrying on with that, we also have Matthew 26, 69 through 75.
"Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what ye sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them, "There were there this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came out him that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely there also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter, remembering the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly.
All right. Thank you. We've all heard the saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I mean, in the history of the English language, probably never a more false word was ever said. We know that words hurt. We're talking about suffering, but can I just say, you know, mentally, you know, harmful words hurt. That's called the sin of commission. But can I also say, not saying right words also hurt. That's the sins of omission. And here we have Peter being silent. He was had the opportunity, he had a platform, he had a forum to take a stand for Jesus, and he was silent. We know Jesus after this, after his resurrection, was so good to come along and put his arm around Peter and encourage him and tell him, you know, three times to feed my sheep. And there was forgiveness there, but Jesus suffered at Gabbatha at the hands of one silent saint. Gethsemane, Jesus won victory over the flesh. At Gabbatha, Jesus won victory over the world, the world's system, justice system. Now we're going to follow Jesus along one more path, one more spot on his path. We're going to go to Golgotha, where he suffered at the hands of soldiers. We can go to the next slide. Luke 23 says this about Jesus suffering at Golgotha. "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, 'If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.'" John 19 talks about more suffering by soldiers. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in their midst." And of course we know on those two sides, on each side of Jesus, he was crucified with two malefactors, the Bible says. And I put this down, suffering to death at the hands of a stealer. And Matthew 27:44 speaks to that, if I gave that verse out.
"The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth."
All right, the thieves or those that would steal. Luke 23:39 also talks about a stealer, those that would steal.
"And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.'"
All right, thank you. We also see at Golgotha, he suffered at the hands of what I would say a sojourner, people that were just to sojourn is to travel, just to kind of pass by. They suffered at the hands of a sojourner, those that were passing by. Matthew 27 says this, "And they that passed by," that would sojourn, "they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" He suffered at those that would sojourn, those that would pass by. He also suffered at the hands of scoffers in Matthew 27:41-43. He suffered at the hands of scoffers. Matthew 27 says that, "Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God. And as that aspect of being the Son of God, we also see that he suffered at the hands of a sovereign God. Matthew 27 talks about him suffering at the hands of a sovereign God. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah 53 talks about, again, suffering at the hands of a sovereign God, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his own soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Romans 8 continues about the suffering that Jesus had underneath God the Father. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In John 19, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. All suffering at the hands of a sovereign God, who knew the only way for you and I to have hope of a home in heaven was to through the death of his own Son. It was a plan that was in motion before the creation of the world, before the time on eternity even began. This was the Father's plan. We also see that he suffered to death at the hands of our sin. And Luke 23:41 talks about it being our sin that Christ suffered for. Luke 23:41.
And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.
All right, thank you. I don't know about you, but when someone kind of, growing up, I had two older brothers, and it wasn't often. I was one was 6 years older and one was 10 years older, but every now and then one of them would kind of take it on the chin for me. Maybe something was my fault, but they would kind of, as the big brother, they would kind of stick up for me, and they might endure some suffering for my sake. And a small, infinitely small scale compared to what Jesus did. He suffered tremendously, almost unimaginably, for our sake. Not for his sin, but for ours. And then Matthew 27:22-24. Whoever had that?
22. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this, the blood of this just person. See ye to it.
Interesting. Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. He knew that Jesus was not suffering for his sin, but he is suffering rather for ours. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And a couple of verses in 1 Peter also talks about him taking our place on Calvary and him suffering for our sin. 1 Peter 2:24 and 3:18.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
All right, thank you. Of course, we talked a little bit this morning about Isaiah 53, that the Lord laid upon him, the Lord laid up, you know, God the Father laid upon God the Son, the iniquity, the sin of us all. We talked about Gethsemane as the victory over Christ won over the flesh. At Gabbatha is the victory that Christ won over the world. At Golgotha really is the victory that Christ won over Satan. But we also see there's one more place, and I won't read any verses, but Christ also, we know that the path that Christ took that day did not end at Golgotha. He did not stay dead. He also rose again. And we also see that Christ won victory over the grave. And, of course, that's victory over death and hell. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Say it with me. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He won victory to all those places. At Gethsemane, over the flesh. At Gabbatha, over the world. At Golgotha, over Satan. And at the grave, over death and hell.